Hello, this is Between Two Worlds podcast. My name is Luke. This is episode 46. We are greeted around the table with Ron.
Hey.
And Annalie.
Hi.
That's it. No Gitch, no Dan, Gitch. No Levi, no McKenna, no Daniel Martin.
We got the backbone of the youth ministry.
The backbone of the high school youth ministry.
We're talking youth ministry here.
Wow.
We're running right over top of Danny. We're running right over top of Gitch. It just doesn't matter.
That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
We can do that. Even Andy Stagger. We're just right over top of it.
At Northie right now, if you guys were wondering, we have an office pool for the NHL playoffs. And none other than our Andy Stagger picked the Vancouver Canucks to win.
Wow. That's loyalty.
He thinks that he can reason his way through that with an apologetic sort of thesis on
it. He can't, though. That's the thing. He can't.
But maybe he'll write a book.
He's going to work on it.
Yeah.
It'll be the Vancouver Project.
If you didn't know, Vancouver is out of the playoffs and they're not in. So that's why this is so improbable.
Wake up, Andy.
Vancouver, wake up. But it's good to have, to be back. Last week we missed.
Yes.
Due to, Annalie, do you want to say why we didn't have a podcast last week?
I think someone forgot about
someone
it.
Someone did forget.
Hmm.
Someone did forget that.
Was that phone call?
I did phone you, but. You just didn't show up.
Something happened. I can't remember.
All I know is I texted Ron
and
I'm like, hey, we're doing a podcast? And he's like, I forgot. And so we didn't do one.
Did you guys wait down here for me?
We did not. No.
No.
Well, then I don't feel bad.
We wait to hear back from you before we
sometimes I don't answer texts.
Come all the way down to the basement.
I just do not.
So if you're ever wondering, hey guys, why is there no podcast this week? Ron forgot.
He did. He did. Actually, I did forget. And I wasn't about to write that wrong. Some things you forget and say, I'm done. It's over.
Not happening today.
No, we're in it.
But yeah, so that's why. So for the past couple of weeks, it's actually been pretty calm around here. We had spring break. And for the high school side of things, we had a film and theology night and we had a Passover kind of night.
And an all-nighter.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
it's been happening.
Yeah, we've been happening. We're in our Mark series right now. And this upcoming Thursday, we have our gender grade group is happening. So my group's at Castle Farm Park. I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys.
We're just hanging out at one of our leaders' houses, karaoke and minute to win it games and food. All good things.
And I'm hosting the Over 18.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A documentary on the porn aspect of our world and the effects it has on young boys and girls. And it is an amazing story of a lot of facts, a lot of hard, raw facts. And it's eye-opening, eye-popping.
And testimonials.
And there's testimonials. There's people who are recovering and who would call themselves addicts. But they're recovering addicts, and just some tremendous insight there. Every parent that has boys or girls, I would say it's a 16 or 17 and up could watch
this. But this is just for parents.
But this is just for parents that we're doing this Thursday during youth.
Right. Yep. So parents, drop your kids off at wherever your kid is supposed to be dropped off at, and then come to the church.
Come join us. It's going to be good. We're having a panel right afterwards. Dave McVitie from Doing Family Right will be with us, and he's done a number of these already of the over 18 and hosted panels and chats with that, with a lot of parents on that. He actually works a lot with addictive issues.
Did you try to get Dr. Dave Curry?
I did not. I left Dave alone this time. Sometimes he runs pretty hard, and I just, we'll just figure that out later.
Oh, that's good. Well, we're going to start with one of my favorite parts of this podcast, and that is Here's the Thing. So, Ron, take it away.
All right, let's talk a little bit about weight loss. This is something that has been an ongoing thing in my life probably for a long time. But there's always that extra 20 or so pounds that they say when you get married, you add a pound a year. And so when I got married, that's 30 years, 29 this year, 30 next year. So let's say 30, that you can add about a pound a year to the guy. That's what they say. So I weighed in at about 218 30 years ago. And I weighed about this is about 3 weeks ago or so, maybe a little bit longer. I jumped onto this keto diet. Mm. Does anybody know what the keto diet is? Mm-hmm. Anybody?
Oh,
anybody?
Yeah. It seems to be trending, actually. Through the Northview offices and outside.
Why weight loss would be trending, I have no idea. but
a lot of staff members have done it and are doing it.
And have been very successful. And so that's what happened in the Friesen household. But here's the thing on this thing. You just got to stop the bread. Stop the carbs. And there's certain fruits. Now, this is what really bothers me. Like, I've always been told that fruit is good and veggies are good. Mm-hmm. Can I have potatoes?
No.
No. Like, that's a vegetable. Then take it out of the vegetable world then.
No carrots.
No carrots. Peas. Green peas. Can't have them. Well, those are like, what I eat? Cucumbers. Lettuce. Celery. Oh, yum. And,
spinach. Hey.
And spinach. Yes, very good. So, and then you can eat all the meat you want. And so that's an okay thing. So we've had some amazing chicken and steak and roasts and all those kind of things. And we ate a ton of ham and bacon. Oh my goodness. I mean, bacon and eggs like three times a day. That's what this keto diet's going to. And so, but what it has done for me, I mean, I was right around 250, 256. I have big bones, Luke, Emily. I have big bones, big heavy bones, I've been told.
That's a myth.
That's not a myth. Even when I was going to the doctor as a fifth grade kid, I was always 10 pounds, 20 pounds way, let's say 20, 10 pounds over. The scale, the charting, if you're this boy and this...
That reason was because you were two grades behind.
No, that's age. That has nothing to do with grades. That's age.
When you're in eighth grade, you're supposed to be in 10th grade.
No. Okay, let's back this up to even fifth grade. Okay, fifth grade. And I was always on that, over the chart. Like, you put that scale over there. Well, we're freezing. You're off the chart. Always heavy.
That's the first thing you've ever been on. Wow, can't even grade you.
I know. Can't even grade me. A++ for this boy. But that was it. So anyways, I mean, I grew up on the farm. So, I mean, we ate bread and we had... this other thing, the keto, you can have cream. You can't have 1% or 2% milk, but you can dump cream into your...
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Heavy cream.
Heavy cream. We're talking...
Oh, that's
delicious.
That's awesome.
I know. I go, does that make sense to you? Heavy cream? You could eat whipped cream.
You can have whipped cream. No.
As long as it's got no sugar in it.
No sugar in it.
Then it doesn't taste as good.
But vanilla.
Put saccharin. Vanilla?
Put saccharin in there.
What?
Whatever that is. Is that saccharin?
What's saccharin?
I don't know what you're saying.
Come on. Saccharin. That's the substitute of sugar.
What's saccharin?
Is that not
Stevia?
A word? Ask your mother.
Saccharin?
Ask your mother what saccharin is.
Saccharin.
Sherry, this is for you. Saccharin. You know exactly what it is.
I think you're making that up again.
That is not.
Maybe you're pronouncing it wrong.
That could be it.
Splenda?
But anyway, similar.
But is that what you're trying to say?
It is saccharin. Oh, I want to look this up right now. What is that? Yeah, look that up.
And I was going to look it up.
So, but here's the thing on this thing. So you got to stay faithful to it. And so in the first week, I lost like 7 pounds, and now I'm down about 10, and I've had a few moments of weakness. I'll be. Is
Saccharin's
that right?
A thing, Annalie?
Yeah, saccharin. SACCHARIN.
Yes.
An artificial sweetener with effectively no food energy.
Pointless. But anyways, so that being said, the idea was to, I was carrying too much around the middle and all that good stuff. And so I thought, okay, now it's time to slimmer down a bit for mobility sake. And all that kind of good stuff. But it is
better. We can do another here's the thing on your joints.
Oh, yeah. We'll do a thing on joints someday. That'll be another
We'll do it
story.
On your shoulders and your knees.
Yep. We could do that.
We'll Series.
Do
that.
A series
on his joints here.
Part one, Ron's left shoulder. We're going to do part two is Ron's Right shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll go through surgical procedures. But I'm in on this thing, and I think it's a good thing. But the whole deal is all about it's moderation. You know,
it seems to be like eat a lot.
Yes.
Of meat.
Eat a lot of meat and just bite a cucumber. You know, just take a cucumber when you don't want to snack. Cucumber it. You know?
Cucumber it.
And that's all you can do. I can't do the spinach and all that kind of stuff. But no, I can eat a cucumber. Put a little salt in there and you're good to go.
Hmm. Thanks, Ron. On Here's the Thing. Appreciate it. We're going to get a bit serious now. As most of you, if not all of you know, a tragedy happened in the minor league or junior hockey
junior
world.
A, yep.
Junior A. A team called the Humboldt Broncos got hit by a semi-truck and obliterated it. And 15 of them are dead.
15, and then there's probably four or more that are in serious condition.
And so, I mean, absolute travesty, and it's really cool to see all of Canada just really wrapping around this and showing love to all of this. But what I want to talk about is how, as parents, how do we talk to kids about this? How do we talk to kids about death? So if you're a parent and your kid starts talking these questions about like, okay, like what happened? Why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would God allow this?
Right.
That's a 16-year-old boy that's dead.
Yep.
Who was, it wasn't like he was doing anything bad. He was literally on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Probably telling a joke with a teammate.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, bam, he's dead. So Ron?
Well, let me just start off with this both you and Annalie are young, and Luke, you have experienced loss in a good friend. Annalie, I don't know if you've experienced, you know, a peer death or someone real close like that, but I think we all have to understand that tragedy and things like this are coming. We never want it to come. No one wants to be there. And so when this Humboldt Bronco tragedy happens, I mean, obviously it lights up across the country and actually across the world. I mean, here's, you know, these boys play hockey and there's coaches that are dead, statisticians that are dead, play-by-play announcers are dead, bus drivers dead. I mean, it was tragic Friday evening. Boys are on the way to game, I believe it was game 5 of their semifinals. These guys love hockey, and all of a sudden there's death and carnage. And so I think in all of this, I mean, I can't imagine what parents are going through. I can't imagine receiving those calls. I can't imagine, you know, having to tell my wife that my son is dead or vice versa, or, you know, as a grandparent, as an uncle, as an aunt, whatever your story may be. I think the thing is that always happens to somebody else, but it's going to happen to all of us. Yeah. These kinds of things do come. And so I think it is, especially when something that's, you know, captured all of Canada. And it's important then to talk about this with our family. Like, this is a tragic, tragic event. And I'm sure, as you know, if you have kids that are 5 years old or 15 years old, it is a good thing to talk about. Like, this is a major event that has happened in our country that has captured it. And the questions do arise, like, if there is a God, why does he allow this to happen? Mm-hmm. Which is probably one of the most difficult questions I think we as Christians
answer. And I think the bigger question of that is like, why is there suffering? Mm-hmm. Why is there evil? And I think that's what the root of that question is for these teenagers or kids that are asking these questions. Like, why do bad things happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't God a good God?
I think in that world too, I mean, if you know, we go back to this Humboldt tragedy and they had the vigil this past last weekend. Was it Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Was the vigil Sunday? I'm not sure.
I think so.
And obviously the pastor of one of the churches there, Humboldt Bible Church, is a church actually that I helped plant years ago as a youth pastor.
Really?
Yeah. It's part of the conference that I belonged to when I was a youth pastor in Saskatchewan.
So where's Humboldt in reference to Saskatchewan?
It's east,
Saskatoon.
It's a little bit east and north of Saskatoon. So almost straight east.
Okay.
Cool. About less than an hour and a half
or so. So you helped plan that thing.
Yeah. So we were there lots. Yeah. We did some fun events there and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was around there. Anyways, don't know the pastor, just all that kind of thing. But he was also, the pastor there was also the chaplain of the hockey team, the Broncos. And the coach was a Christian as well. So they had a lot of Christian influence there, obviously, in that world. But then when this pastor gets up and talks about, and he's stunned, he's in shock because he was at the scene as well. And he talks about holding a dead boy's hand. And I mean, I can't imagine what that must be like. You know, these are boys that he has been a chaplain to. So if you're a chaplain to them, you're their pastor. And now it's awful. And so, I mean, it's a hugely sobering event. And you have no words. And he said he had no words. But the one thing that he did express was that God is on the throne. Hmm. God is on the throne. And, of course, when we ask that question, you know that there is, you know, Jesus did remind us, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. You seek peace, but you will have trouble. So we live in a broken and fallen world. We have to understand that. There is both good and there is both bad. And it has been since the earliest of times. It's just that when this happens and, you know, I mean, you can go back to major events in our world and, you know, where was God during the Holocaust?
Right.
You know, where was God during, you know, Stalin's, you know, oppression of Russia, you know, I mean, all over the world and continent, and then those thousands and millions of people that have, you know, Africa, all those kind of things. So, I mean, there's tragedy, there's suffering, there's evil everywhere.
So how would you guys say is best to talk about this with your high school student who maybe attends a Christian school? Maybe they have never had anyone die, not even a grandparent. How do you explain death and how do you talk about that in a real way that, I mean, you can never, I don't think you can ever be prepared for someone's actual death.
Exactly.
Like you can never be like, okay, I've been waiting for it. Like even when I see like grandparents who are on their deathbeds, it's like it's been 2 years in the making. You know that at any moment they could go, but then it happens and you're still a mess. You're still a mess. So I don't think there's any way you can actually prepare. But in saying that, how do you prepare in that sense for kids to eventually do go through this death of a loved one, something like this? So does anyone have any?
I think thinking back to when I was in high school and just facing different hard things or trying to figure them out, I think the first thing, which I think we've said a lot on this podcast, is to open up that conversation and just to talk about it and to bring it up and ask their thoughts and let them talk and let kids just ask questions and not necessarily have answers right away, but just let them express, hey, what does this make you think? And do you have questions about it? Does it make you question God? Or what is your view of how God views these things? And just let them start talking out what they're thinking. And even if they haven't started thinking about it, to get them thinking about it, or else when something does happen and they haven't thought through it, there's a little bit of preemptive, okay, let's think through who is God in the midst of this.
Well, I think the question of where was God Friday night on Highway 35, someplace between Humboldt and Nipawin, and why weren't you there, God? Why didn't you put your hand on that truck and or whatever the cause was, you know? And I think what we ask that philosophically, I don't think that answering that philosophically is going to help you because it won't answer.
Right.
It won't help the pain. But I think we jump into that philosophical sense because, you know, humanly speaking, we're not wired to even handle suffering. We're not. We don't get up in the morning, oh, I can hardly wait till something bad happens to me today. I am so ready. We are not. We are not wired that way. Never have been, never will be. We are dependent on God in all of this. And here's what I kind of liken this to. And if you look into Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, the very last
little story that Jesus gives is that of the wise man and the foolish man, and how the foolish man builds his house on the sand, the wise man builds his house on the rock. So now here's, but there's a common denominator here. They both got hit with storms. One survived, one did not. And so I think as parents and as youth leaders, it is our, it is our job, it is our calling to help build that foundation. And so that when we don't want to, you cannot shelter people from the storms. And Jesus said it right there. He says the storms hit both of them. Well, and sometimes we get this idea that if I'm good, God will be good to me. And so what did, you know, because people say, what did these boys do wrong? You tell me. That should have happened to that drug dealer down in downtown, you know, on 20th Street in Saskatoon. Like, if that guy died, I, you know, whatever, you know. Everyone's made in the image of God. And I think in all of this, we as parents have to recognize that we can't know God's mind in all of this. God is on the throne, as that pastor said. Even in those darkest, darkest moments, when that is when the light must shine. And so I think what we have to give ourselves is the ability to say, are we building a foundation for our kids? Are we protecting them? We've kind of gone through this thing too, you know, this, you know, helicopter, the protecting them from all things and all that kind of stuff. No, we need to put a foundation underneath them so that tough times will come. We can't control everything, you know, and I think that's where I would go, especially.
So we talked about a little bit about how we would bring conversation into that. But when someone is in the middle of it, a teenager is right in the middle of suffering, how would you as a parent or Annalie as a youth leader, how would you come alongside that kid? Because I ask that because that's different than a grown adult going through the death of a loved one. Than someone who is right in the middle of figuring themselves out. I think it's completely different in the way they understand. So can you give some advice or practical tips, maybe how you dealt with me?
Yeah. Well, I was going to reflect a little bit of that. I mean, I've had over the years, I mean, I've gotten the call from, you know, parents who's...
I mean, the first day of your youth job, right? Or the first death that you dealt with in Saskatoon with that boy.
Was a boy that had cancer.
Yeah.
And so I walked with him and a 12-year-old boy that, you know, got to know the parents. And that was my first funeral. You know, a 12-year-old, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is, it shouldn't be. You know, here all the pallbearers, you know, honorary pallbearers were all 12-year-old boys. They all played hockey with this kid. This kid was an outstanding hockey player as well. And so I did that. And then 5 years later, I did his mom's funeral. She passed away of cancer. During that time, just before that, one of my youth leaders lost their 2-year-old boy to, I think it was sort of a brain flu. It was that, I forget what it's called now. It's when it paralyzes their spine and brain and, you know, anyways, so dead, 2 years old. I mean, I was out hunting with Dwayne. We got the call when we got closer in with a two-way radio that he had to go to the hospital and boom, his, I remember walking over to his house that night, you know, we'd spent the whole day together, Dwayne and I. And I'm sitting with him on the couch and his little boy, Dell, Don, 2 years old. And I go, oh my goodness, what do you say? You know, all of that. And then I've handled deaths. You know, one of my youth leaders died in a diving accident here in Wycliffe Park. You know, I got called there in the middle of the night, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it just others all the way through, you know, and I've done these funerals for these boys and kids that have gone way too early. And then when you're, you know, when you were, you know, grade 12, you graduated and Des, you know, passes away. And I remember, you know, walking into your room and waking you up and saying something terrible has happened. And you were in shock. You didn't know what to say. I think you went to a friend's house immediately. I think you did. You had to go be with some people.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But I mean, what a shock. And then, but I mean, so there's, it all happens to us. But a couple of things that I would suggest that you do is number one, you got to be there. You got to be there. You got to show up. I mean, as hard as this thing is, when there's a problem, like when there's a catastrophe like that, you got to go. You just got to be there. You may not have a thing to say. And I remember I've been at doorsteps and I've just, I said, God, I have nothing to say. And that's a good thing because you don't want to say the wrong thing. So sometimes it's better not to say anything. Mm-hmm. And believe me, people have said the wrong things during these times of pain and sorrow and grieving. And you know, you don't put God in the mix of this and say, oh yeah, God has a better way right now. You can't use those little sayings that are just going to, trying to make things better. So I think you have to there. So I would say be there. The other thing that I would say is that you always have to make sure that they are loved and cared for. And it has to be action. Mm-hmm. You've got to do things with people at that point in time. When I have dealt with teenagers whose parents, let's say, have suddenly passed away or something like that, I've often taken them out, immediately. And I says, hey, let's go grab a burger at McDonald's or something like that. Just jump in the car with me. Let's go. And the mom, if the dad has passed away, I've done this a couple of times, and they say, okay, yeah, go, And because most people want things to go back to normal as quickly as possible. There is a new normal now. There's a new normal for all those families that have been affected by this tragedy. And I think if you're in that family, you have to try and find that, but it's going to take time. But you have to be there as a person. You have to figure out exactly what is going to be your role. How can you step into that role? And you don't have to have answers. They just need to know that you are a trusted person, that you are a caring person, that you are a listening person. And you're not afraid to talk about all of this, and that's what you have to do.
That's good. Allie?
I would also just say that it's important to know that kids in grief are going to behave differently. Mm-hmm. And one kid will behave totally different than another, and they might not show their grief, but you have to just wait. And again, just like what Ron is saying, be there and let them express that in however it is going to be, whether it's tears or whether it's wanting to go out and do more stuff or mm-hmm. talking or not talking and just being there and to go with them through the ebb and flow of that process.
And it's okay to be angry.
Yeah,
it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't doubt that. I think there's stages of all of this. There's shock, there's grief, there's mourning, there's anger, there's solitude, there's questioning.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I think C.S. Lewis has a quote on this that tragedy like this is the biggest field for atheism. Hmm. Like, this is why, which doesn't really make sense because, you assume that if there's evil, that you have to assume that there's good. Mm-hmm. And so if there's bad, there's got to be good. And so where do you get your moral line if you think that if God did something, this wouldn't have happened? So all that said and done, there's a philosophical side to all of that. But the point is that if there is a problem like this, and this has affected the family, you have got to give yourself that opportunity to be open and to be honest and to give people a chance just to work their way through it, but to be there. I would consider that not running away from this thing, but running towards God during a time like this. Because if you're going to be angry at God, where are you going to go? Mm-hmm. In all of this darkness, where do you go? This is the perfect time to run to God,
Yeah. In saying all this, I think those are some good things to think about as parents and to note. There's also stuff to note is there's negative things that kids can be going through that are not healthy. Mm-hmm. There's bad ways for kids to take out their frustration and sadness and anger that's not going to help them in the long run or even the short term. Mm-hmm. So parents have to watch out for those and not let them use that as a crutch or an excuse for the way they're acting because their friend died or their grandpa died or their parents died. That doesn't give them reason
exactly
to do certain things. One is to get into physical fights. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a good excuse to being like, oh, I'm angry because someone died and I'm going to beat this kid up. No, no, no. To drink. Mm-hmm. It's not a good excuse to start drinking. A lot of my friends, they didn't start drinking, but I got to the house where everyone was at night after, I don't know where I was somewhere. And I got there and everyone was just drunk.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I was so upset. I'm like, mm-hmm. really, this is how we handle this. Just drink it away and everything's going to be better. And actually this girl pulled me aside like, Luke, you can't talk to them like that. I'm like, why not? Mm-hmm. He's dead. Mm-hmm. And he died because he drunk mm-hmm. too much. Mm-hmm. And now everyone's drinking. Do you guys all want to die? And I just left.
Yeah.
That's kind of actually how I left my friendship with all of them. But I just got too upset. I couldn't handle it.
And I think we all have a choice of what to do with this. To become to become bitter, to become anti-God, mm-hmm. or do we say, I need answers. Where am I going to go? Help me. Help me. Because people do need help during this. And if they turn to alcohol or drugs, or it's just to dull the pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the classic saying with this is like, well, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
But this rips people apart. Oh, totally. And it makes them shells of what they used to be if not handled correctly. Mm-hmm. So all that image that we have in our head that if you break a bone, it's just going to get made new and it's going to like just be stronger the next time. That's not like our spirits. Mm-hmm. When we break, if we don't handle it correctly, it can really scar us if we don't actually talk about these things and get a handle on this.
Yeah.
It could take a long time, but if we don't actually talk about these issues that we have, talk about sadness, talk about hurt and heartache and all of this, we will be defeated by it. And we can't get back up and we'll just be a shell of the human we used to be.
And I think that's, you know, that's a good word because I think in the long run, you know, every person is going to go through things differently.
Yeah.
There's no formula for everyone. But I think if you can kind of wrestle with this and say, you know what, people need someone there and they don't need to have a sermon every time you get together. Mm. You know, you got to be there.
Yeah.
You know, don't say stupid things, you know, just make sure you're onto that. And when it comes to the right time, they will speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They will because they trust you, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's a good thing. And then you show your love through actions. And it takes time, but it's a relationship that you build.
Mm-hmm. Any last words, Annalie? No, you're good. Okay. This has been Between Two Worlds podcast. It's been a delight. If you have listened, if you have any questions, please email us at betweentworlds@northview.org or b2w@northview.org. We'd be delighted to interact with you if you have questions, things you're going through with your child. If there's anything that can be of help to you that you want Ron to really talk about, we're more than happy to discuss. Or if you'd like general information, you can email us too about our youth group or anything like that. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.